Perfect. Now I have your numbers. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. I'm here with Nick, who was on last week's episode, one of the executive coaches in the Leverage program for Inner Confidence. And we're going to talk about some topics today, one of them being maybe a new name for this podcast. So I think the Leverage Podcast is a little bit vague. We're going to talk about how to respond when women say rude, random shit to you, especially on dates, or maybe it's like further on in a relationship before you guys have officially gotten into a relationship. And we're going to have a guest on to share his experience with something like that. And we're going to share some crazy stories from Leverage members. So first, the name change. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know how you like the name, the Leverage Podcast. The reason why I originally chose that name was the podcast was about leveraging your social skills to improve your life and using the concept of leverage, which is using, it's a lever, which means you can, you know, use a little bit of force, which creates a huge result. Yes. I don't even know the point of my own podcast
name. A little bit of input, maximum output.
Exactly. So that was kind of the idea, but I don't think anyone really gives a shit about that in a name. So we're playing around with some different names and what we could call it. We thought, well, what about the anti-pickup artist podcast? And we're like, that's kind of funny because, I mean, there is definitely a lot of advice on this show about how to meet women and how to pick them up. But we hate pickup artists and we hate that whole stupid cult and genre and all the bullshit they promote and the toxic mindset behind most of that stuff. I'm kind of like, I'm an anti-pickup artist. So let's call it the anti-pickup artist podcast. My fiance hated the name.
It rolls right off the tongue.
We want to hear what you guys have to say about it. So if you're a listener to the show, or maybe it's your first time listening, just, you know, send me a message on Instagram or send me an email. It's just instagram.com/Robbie_Kramer, or send me an email, Robbie@innerconfidence.com. And I'd love your feedback. I'll give you a little surprise gift if you tell me if you hate the name or love the name, or if you have any other suggestions. One of the guys in the Leverage group suggested, why don't you just call it the Inner Confidence Podcast? I was like, that's a terrible idea. Why would
you
think of that?
I don't know. Call it the same name as everything else I do.
Why would we do that?
It makes too much sense.
So that's the second place name in the running. Probably the one we'll go with. Unless you guys.
I was warming up to the.
Yeah. So
pickup artist.
I kind of like it too. I love it.
It's great.
And I'm going to start telling people when they ask me what you do. I'm an anti-pickup artist.
There you go.
Mom and dad are proud.
Sounds like you hunt them down.
I'm someone who goes after pickup.
You
artists.
Go after pickup. You, what are those you, you pick up pickup artists and then.
Right. What are those people called? Someone who's like a
bounty hunter?
Something like someone who's like its mission, their mission is to like get rid of these people. Maybe a bounty
hunter. I don't know, an exterminator.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Not the word I was thinking, but sure. Okay. I don't know. Exterminator is good. So let's dive in. We're going to welcome Dan to the call, and he's going to share all about his story with this girl he's been dealing with for years now and just having a tough time. I feel bad for the guy. So let's give the backstory for reference. And I guess I can do that. And then Dan, you can fill in anything that you feel like I left out. But just a short backstory is you met a girl on Seeking Arrangements, and you guys have had a on again, off again relationship for a long time. It started off as a pay-per-sex sort of deal, and then it evolved into like a real normal sort of relationship, and you guys became never technically like boyfriend-girlfriend, but, you know, definitely like partners, intimate, I love yous were thrown around drunkenly. And then recently,
two I love yous followed by run the fuck away.
And I love you one day followed by the next day of I'm not feeling the spark, which was also said to back up like 2 months prior. An I love you drunken almost confession was followed by the I'm not feeling the spark anymore and a breakup.
I think 4 months prior, for the first I don't feel the spark, there was a there's some internet stalking going on and like her messaging me first and then fucking what else? There's an OnlyFans got in the picture and some drugs. Oh, yeah,
so she's also an OnlyFans chick, right? She makes money on her OnlyFans page posing nude. She's a webcam girl, so she makes money webcamming. And so it was the quasi I love you followed by I'm not feeling the spark. And then usually when a girl says that, like, you know, it means she's no longer attracted and it's over. But that wasn't the case. She came back. You guys had a fun, cool night together. You went to visit her. And then, you know, planned to spend a few days together where you visited her. And then first day was great. That was when the I love you, you know, was almost thrown around.
I love you, to be fair, but I mean, right. Still.
And then the next day it was, you guys met up for a date. There were some things that she didn't like about maybe the venue that you chose.
What was it, a strip club?
Yeah, it was like a restaurant, but it wasn't quite as like nice and scenic as he had hoped, but it's still fine. This is in Portugal. And then she started nitpicking him about a wine spill. She nitpicked him about telling a bad story.
What did he do?
A horrible story, apparently.
So first, what was your reaction to the wine and what came first? What was the first nitpick?
All right, so there's been a few nitpicks. All right, let me go in order of like what was actually obvious. So the first nitpick really was when I just kind of threw out a random word, which I would never do in the middle of like a really serious psychological discussion. I just thought I'd like mix up the mood a little bit because I don't know, I was kind of down. I just wanted to like, you know, throw something weird out there. And we kind of have this thing where we're weird together. And she said, why did you do that? And I said, I just wanted to see how you react. And she either didn't like it. She may have not liked it. I think she didn't like it. I think she may have said like a random word back. Like I may have said banana and she may have said orange. I forget. So that was probably some kind of nitpick. The wine spill.
You did that as comic relief, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's not that crazy as I thought. I don't think I broke my frame here. At all. I fucking said, I just wanted to see how you act. I didn't say sorry or any of that shit. Anyway, the wine spill, she said, did you clean up the tiny spot on my shirt from 2 fucking days ago? And I said, no. And then she said, And I didn't say anything else. That was the wine spill. That definitely qualifies as a nitpick. Then came the story. I think it's a cool story of like how America was formed and how fucking there's all these heroes and they stood up against the underdog or as the underdog against this powerful empire and somehow won. And there's like mysterious storms that helped America somehow. And then there's lots of noise in the background and she interrupts me before I get to the ending and says, that was a horrible story, which it's a bit more than that's a nitpick. Huh?
Cool story, bro, but in a more rude way.
But shortly after that, she said, and I don't want to waste your time. And she's crying. And she said, I've lost the spark. What else did she say? This shit doesn't matter. She gives like this thing that says, we're not clicking. Something like that is what she gives this signature. And then she says, you're a poker player, philanthropist, and I'm just trying to get my mental health back. She says almost verbatim like that. And then at some point she says something like, you have a problem paying money for sex. And I say something like, not really. And she says, I saw you on SA like 3 weeks ago. What were the chances that you were on when I was on? And then I say, at somewhere around this point, I say, all right, I'll delete it. I'll delete it tomorrow.
The seeking app, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not using it to hook. I want to find a genuine connection. I don't even fucking pay, basically. And I wasn't using it for a long time. It was a funny thing. I was like messaging, but not really using it. I didn't like meet anyone for like a while on that fucking app. And I had another bad experience where I didn't fucking pay and I paid for someone's flight, which is the irony. I was just like, what the fuck? And where does that leave us? At some point I'm like, you can correct these, like, at some point I'm like addressing these little minor things, and she said, you can correct these things. Like, you've seen me like fucking get better at these things. Like, they're all like easily like fixable things. She says, like, not all the time. It's supposed to just flow. This also happened. At some point I'm like, let's get out of here. It's so noisy. Like, during all this time, there's like a group of fucking a bunch of dudes at this damn restaurant just making so much fucking noise for some goddamn reason they came here. And you were just trying to get out of here. And she's like fucking tearing up. I try to hug her and she's like, to make her feel better, but maybe that's a bad move too. And she like kind of shoves me away, and then I just stay the fuck away. And I say, I want to talk to her. And then we go back to her place and just sit there and talk. I don't know how much more I need to get into this, but basically, the other stuff.
Well, what at what point did she tell you to leave?
That was after I made the mistake of arguing with her emotions a couple times, or at least not in an effective way. And then the first time she said, this is how I feel. Like, this is just how I feel. And I didn't like say, I said something like, you're right, I can't argue with your emotions. And the second time I said something kind of like sardonically, because I said, well, if you're upset because after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I didn't say hello and I didn't say I'm sorry because of your sister thing. And she said something like, what the fuck? This is how I feel. Leave. That was her response to that. So it's all kind of a train wreck at this point. I guess I could say another thing. One kind of noteworthy thing I said was like, I said some weird shit about a psychic that got this exact situation 100% right. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if that really matters. It's kind of weird. And then I said something like,
in response to that. So you said, I saw a psychic and they told me this would happen.
Not exactly like that. I just said that the only thing that's consistent about you is you're inconsistent. I don't know if that's a really great thing to say. I was just stunned that this fucking happened, basically. Huh?
He said that to her, or she said that to him?
He said that to her.
Yeah, and the psychic said that to me. And this was like shortly after we had this amazing day, and then right after that we have this terrible day, which is like really weird.
That's really kind of what always happens with her. It's always good for the beginning, and then
not always. No, we've had it good for like a month and a half, a couple times.
It's good, and then she unravels it. Says she basically she's always the one pulling away, and you've always been very much invested in hoping for something more with her. So she gets her hopes up. You know, she starts throwing around the drunk I love yous. She's all about it, and then she changes her mind and goes away. And you know, and I've dealt with women like this in the past. She also has a history of like heavy drinking, some drug use. A lot of the signs that you've told me about her fit very closely with someone with borderline personality disorder, or at least avoidant personality disorder, which is super common. It's comorbid with like narcissistic personality disorder, which a ton of beautiful women have that spend a lot of time on Instagram, or of course, you know, or webcam models. These things run very closely with each other. Now, I'm not diagnosing her with any of that. I'm only going off what you've told me. And what I've seen in the past from other women I've dated, but it sounds very much like that sort of situation. And in those situations, you're dealing with someone who, you know, regardless of what you do, like they've got such a, you know, sort of toxic mental health thing going on themselves. It's very hard to be in a relationship with them. And she even said, like, you're a poker player philanthropist. I'm just trying to get my mental health in order. Right. Which, so she has some awareness around her mental health issues. And it's very, very difficult to be in a healthy relationship with someone who's admittedly got mental health challenges. So with that being said, the reason why I thought it'd be interesting to have you on the podcast is because the question came up, what to do, like what to do going forward and how to address this you pay for sex thing, because that's been bothering you. You feel kind of attacked and unfairly judged by that comment yeah. she made. It's like, you're gonna tell me that I pay for sex when I met you paying you for sex. Like, you're gonna judge me for
not just that
party for.
Well, I think what's even more ridiculous is that she's on fucking OnlyFans and webcamming. It's the same goddamn thing. It's like, it's maybe like a step up, but it's still, I don't even know if it's a step up as a thing. I mean, it's like the same fucking principle. I mean,
we all fall under the loose category of sex work. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, it is what it is. So yeah, judging someone else for participating in that sphere is not cool. And these people tend to be very judgmental of the things they're doing and very hypocritical because they're judging themselves. Like, I'm sure there's some days where she's like, I love what I'm doing because I get so much validation from it. I make people feel better. And if you look at it from that angle, it can look like, you know, like you're really doing a service for people. But on the other hand, she's like, I'm a fucking webcam model and this is not what I grew up hoping I was going to be, right? It's you're not like gonna pat yourself on the back. You're like, I really, you know, I achieved what I had always been as a little girl. Right.
And Dad'll be proud.
I do know, you know, a large number of porn stars. I've interviewed quite a few on this show. And it's very easy when you're in that sort of lifestyle and community to brainwash yourself and being like, no, I'm really helping humanity. And like, I'm sharing sex and I'm opening people's sex lives up and making it a more, you know, blah, 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 sort of sexually open culture. And you can't really deny any of that, but it's just interesting how on one hand, she's like occasionally patting herself on the back and telling her what she's doing is great. And on the other hand, I guarantee she really hates it. And she's judgmental towards herself. So I feel like this is way more about her than it is about you.
I have a thought, by the way, about whether it's good or bad or not. Like, there's of course truth to the side that yeah, they're making people happy or whatever, but it, I mean, it has to be looked at in aggregate. I mean, I believe it's like a slight net negative myself, because you know, you're still kind of like letting people be addicted to the whole fucking process, which crushes them, and then it eventually does something bad to these people's mental health. But it's like a slow process, and that's just my personal
opinion. What do you think, Dave?
I just think this whole argument misses the point.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. You're not going to improve your relationship with this person by winning an argument over whether you should be judged or she should be judged, or throwing back in her face that she's a big hypocrite. She might not even believe in the argument herself. It sounds like from your date, she was looking for any opportunity to start shit with you. And
yeah,
it sounds like kind of maybe because she wanted there to be problems, because she wanted an excuse to leave. Like, we've heard like girls will even say this, and you've even said that you've used this in the past, where you'll actually accuse the other person of not being available enough or something like that in order to come up with just some bullshit excuse to make it so that you can kind of deny them in the near term, but still leave it open in the future. And so if she's
Which is what she always does.
Right.
Because and if you think about it from her perspective, you know, she's got a very fast, I don't know what's gonna happen next month lifestyle, right? She's making money day by day by putting out sexual content. And you're probably the only thing in her life that's consistent. You've always been there for her. You've got a stable job. You do really well financially. And you've shown her that you're all in on basically like having a life with her in a relationship. And I'm guessing she doesn't have that that option from elsewhere. So what she's likely doing is, in when she breaks up with you, for a couple months, she's like, okay, whatever, done with that guy, fuck him. And then she's thinking, oh fuck, Dan is actually like, the person that I should be with. I'm an idiot for not being with him. And then she'll kind of have this change of heart. And I've seen that happen so many times with people that are kind of going through these things. Or I mean, I was even doing that when I was going through my crazy partying stage. I would think that about women, kind of be back and forth on the seesaw about them, like, oh, I shouldn't be partying, I should just go back with this girl because she was healthy for me. And then I'd get back together and then I'd be like, oh, this is boring.
It's like your safe space that you can always, like, your home base, you can come back to, you can count on it. So when she wants to leave that home base, she comes up with bullshit excuses, dangles these intellectual arguments in front of your face, makes it about that. You guys argue, she has a good excuse to run away. And then, you guys patch it up later on and she can come back.
Right. She leaves the door open.
And whereas if she just was direct and said, hey, I want to not be with you for 2 months because I want to go explore somewhere else, I'll see you later, there's more of a chance that would offend you and you won't be available for her when she comes back. But if she makes it your fault because you created the problem in the relationship, because you didn't say the right particular thing in this right minute, you said the wrong thing about the wrong story, then later on you can apologize, you guys can get back together, and it's all on you.
Well, I kind of doubt that she's being that manipulative. And actually the funny thing is, like, I'd be cool with just like seeing her every once in a while, as long as like straight up honest. Hey, she does her own fucking thing. Like, whatever, I'll fucking live with it. I mean,
might not be aware that she's being manipulative.
Yeah.
Right. When I was doing that sort of stuff, I wasn't intentionally trying to be manipulative. I was just experiencing this emotion of, I need to get out and get away from this person because they're killing my vibe. And then a month or two later, I'd be like, I really miss that feeling of like home and comfort and like, just like having a long-term thing. And so then I jump right back in, and it was definitely a shitty thing to do. And I'm not proud of myself for behaving in that way, but when you're partying and you're living that fast life, you're not thinking about that shit. You're just figuring out how to get your needs met. And I don't think he's intentionally doing it or being manipulative. Like, she'd have to be a pretty good fucking actor to bust out the tears on the spot.
Yeah. I wasn't suggesting it was like conscious at all. I've done things like that where I've been easily annoyed by somebody and it was just because I needed space and I didn't realize it.
Right.
And you're basically, your subconscious is trying to create the space however it can.
I don't believe that. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what the fuck she's trying to do because it doesn't seem like,
She's just reacting to her emotions. Her emotions are telling her she doesn't want to be in that situation, so she creates problems. It's not like a conscious manipulation where she's like playing chess. She's just reacting negatively because she doesn't like the situation emotionally.
Well, this seems to stem back to her possible avoidant, attachment style. Sure. Like, too close.
Yeah, for sure. You guys had a nice time. You're a safe bet. And her avoidant personality is like, oh, commitment, scary. This nice guy, scary. I don't like the situation. And so she starts turning shittier and shittier. She probably, even if she caught herself doing it, she can't stop it. I think she said, like, it's too much or something. I'm wasting your time, yeah. So she's, like, admitting she's being a piece of shit, maybe strong. But she's admitting that she's being shitty in the moment, right? And she can't help it, but it doesn't stop. I've had the same thing in a previous relationship. Like, I had somebody I was so deeply annoyed with that I would be coming home to them and I'd be like, don't be an asshole to this person. There's no reason to be upset. Why the fuck are you like this? And I get home within 5 minutes, I'm fucking triggered already, And it was just because at the end, after the relationship stopped, I was like, oh my God, it was because I had these other things that I was trying to ignore and was saying are okay. But my subconscious is like, no, it's not okay. And you need to be out of the situation. And so I was turning into a shitty person because of that.
Okay, and what's the solution as far as, I mean, for both of the perspectives? I don't really know where it stems from with her exactly, because it definitely makes sense that she's just blowing shit up in my fucking face about random goddamn bullshit. Or she's just in like this crazy mood because of her sister, or I don't know, or she's on this negative war path and she just can't help but look at the negative of fucking everything. But I've seen that multiple times.
I mean, part of it is maybe her and part of it is maybe you. You know, the her part, I would say, like, if she does have this personality disorder, she's working on things on her own, then that's just something you can't avoid. Part of it might be that there are things you are doing that are just not as attractive to her in general. Like, even if she was a healthy person, maybe you wouldn't be, for whatever you're doing, whatever reason, you wouldn't be her top pick. Not to say you couldn't be, but maybe there's something attitude you're having with her that's not attractive in general. Like, you're not that guy that excites her, maybe because you're too safe, or I don't know what's going on.
Well, too safe is like, I don't, this seems like a weird, that seems like, I mean, isn't that like good for women in a sense?
I didn't mean safe like you won't rape her. Too safe like if she comes calling, you will come. You know, like there's no.
Why would it be good to be unpredictable?
Of course that's good. That they want the emotions, right? If you're always one beat, if you're always happy, it's like, where's the excitement? Of course you want unpredictability. That's what people remember. If you can predict everything that somebody else is going to be doing, it's boring as hell. They're emotional junkies, man.
That makes sense.
I like the fact that Nick is predictable and I can count on him, and you know, he's a straight shooter and he's honest, and you know, there's all these reasons why, you know, I decided to like bring Nick to work with me. And women don't choose men for that same reason as like a business arrangement. They choose a guy who makes them feel good, who makes them feel excited and turns them on. And also they want the guy who's predictable and stable and can take care of them. But at the same time, they want, you know, the Don Juan, you know, crazy adventurous guy. So it's like, you go back to that Brian McFadden stand-up comedy bit.
I was just thinking about that.
You know, yeah. What do women want? They want a gay football coach. Like, polar opposites of each other, right?
I was literally about to take her to the fucking beach. You would think that her attraction would die in fucking like 40 fucking minutes. And literally the whole idea was, I'm going to take her somewhere. And I don't know. I mean, I guess the first buzzkill was the restaurant. I would just think like there'd be like a little bit more leeway, if that makes sense.
We're talking about a bigger thing about your personality, yeah, and her experience with you.
I mean, the fact that you just said that you thought predictability was good means that you've probably been going about this kind of wrong for a while, because that's an opposite.
That's very opposite. I would think being predictable in the sense of like always wanting her is good. Let's put it that way. And being emotionally.
No, she wants to think, well, if she believes that you're always going to want her, regardless of how shitty she acts, she's just going to act as shitty and crazy as she feels.
Especially if she has these personality disorders. Like,
oh, man.
Like, less so with healthy girls, but even healthy people, even myself, am I going to want a girl that's like desperate to see me anytime I say? That's nice in theory, but in reality, your subconscious starts telling you, well, why does she always want you so badly? Maybe like, isn't she too easy? Why don't you go with these other girls that are more of a challenge? Isn't that more exciting?
That's not how I am.
That's not how you are, but you're not trying to date yourself. You're trying to date young, attractive women, and young, attractive women are definitely the opposite of how you are.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how to say it. That doesn't seem 100% true. But what can I say? I'm trying to think. What was I thinking about?
It's nuanced, but definitely the approach of always being predictable is not correct. I'm not saying always be chaotic and never be predictable, but always predictable is boring.
Sure. But I mean, I've also like...
No, we're not saying this is... We're not trying to pin and peg you exactly as this, and this is how she feels. We don't really know. right? But it sounds like this could be something that's going on.
Yeah.
And there obviously could be she's on again, off again, right? You're doing some things right. And you're also doing a lot of things that she doesn't like. So, and what I keep telling you is that she doesn't have any steady relationships in her life. You know, there doesn't, maybe she's got some other guys that she's hooking up with or whatever. But from what we've learned about her, it's like she's just got a very sort of turbulent life. She's always moving all over the place, changing friends, that sort of thing. So she's probably doing this with everyone, right? And yeah. Regardless of how solid you are and how good you are at like passing these shit tests, if you will, you know, you could call her like random outbursts since they really don't mean a lot. You could kind of look at those as just like, well, she's just kind of throwing shit at me to see how I'll handle it, right? Because that's her
subconscious. Yeah. No, I can see some, I definitely with her, I can see how she may want someone who's a lot more unpredictable. I just haven't, like, it's sort of, I don't think that being unpredictable is inherently better, but I can see how, like, the experience can be something. It's just sort of, I don't see how it's inherently better. Actually, I think it's not.
Well, here's the beauty of this is you don't have to try to do any of this. You just have to have boundaries, right? And like, I don't ever try to be unpredictable. If I catch myself like just being lazy and always trying to do the same thing with a girl on a date or something, that's obviously something I won't do. I'm not going to take the girl on same exact dates. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to be unpredictable, but you have to have boundaries. So when she starts acting crazy and just acting like a fool, you got to put her in her place, or you got to walk away, or you got to be willing to walk away. And I think that's been your problem, is you've been so accepting of everything.
I don't think so, because like a couple things. Firstly, it's obviously not my problem. I'm doing the same fucking thing every fucking date has been different. So there's that. And secondly, like the first day she didn't throw any shit at me, really. She called me an asshole the whole time, and I fucking ignored her when she got really drunk and then fucked her later. But I don't know what you're talking about as far as like the boundaries, because every single time she's like done something bad, I've basically not texted her and that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know
I'm not saying this for you. I'm saying it for the listeners. Like I was saying it, you know, I was basically making the point is the way to, because I don't want someone listening to think, oh my God, I have to be unpredictable all the time. I have to be this unpredictable actor and think of ways to be unpredictable. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can avoid being predictable by simply having boundaries. And you know, if someone does crazy shit, you have the willingness to walk away. Because if you're ever with someone and you know they're not going to walk away, you're not going to be with that person long term. And I've definitely been there many times with, I'm like, I can do anything to this person. She's not going to go anywhere. And I immediately lost all interest in the future. I'm like, this person has, you know, it was just such a lack of confidence on their end. I found it so unattractive. So I'm not accusing you of that, but I want people listening to realize if that's the case, if they're in that spot with a woman, is bad news.
And I think that's kind of what I meant by predictable as well. Like she would always know. When I said safe before, it's like that attitude. Like this person's never going to not come, no matter how shitty you are with them. That's unattractive, right? They don't have the confidence to tell you no. And like about what you said about you take her to different dates and everything, that's not really what I was talking about. Just more like, you know, who you are.
And getting back to the reason why we decided to like even talk about this in the first place is there was a situation that came up that we wanted to discuss when she, you know, when she accused you of paying for sex and used that as the deal breaker to like break up with you.
She already fucking threw out. She lost the fucking spark. It's like this wild curveball. Do something with that.
So now you're in a spot where you don't know what to do. Right. And so let's talk about that next. So she made this comment to you in the moment, your response to, you know, you pay for sex was to say, I'll stop using seeking, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was definitely a mistake because, well, you said it earlier. So why don't you say it?
Well, you know, getting caught and then trying to walk away from what you got caught doing and changing yourself because they caught you doing something bad. It just looks bad. It looks like you got caught and you feel guilty, right?
Well, I was just showing how little that meant to me, is what it was in my mind, if that was like a legit concern for her.
Okay.
I
still think the better play would be like, who cares? Why am I going to delete seeking? I'm on seeking and.
Well, she didn't tell you to delete it. She just said, you pay for sex. I saw you on seeking, 3 weeks ago or something, right?
Yeah.
And your response was to try to appease her and say, I'll delete seeking, right? It's not a problem. I don't care. I'll delete it, right? And that's like a normal logical sort of way a guy would go in that situation, because like, there's a problem. I'm a guy. I'm logical. I'm going to solve the problem. That solves the problem, right? Delete seeking, we're good. But her problem isn't that you might use seeking in the future. It's that most likely she can't really live with the fact that she met you through a arrangement sort of way. And that bothers her because it shines the light on the fact that she did that. Maybe she's uncomfortable with it. I mean, we know for sure that she's, you know, that there's some level of shame.
Yeah.
So essentially she's saying, I feel ashamed about how we met. I'm ashamed of you. She didn't say it, but she probably meant I'm ashamed of myself.
Which is sure. Why you doubled down and you said, who gives a fuck? That would have gone a lot further, because you're basically
I eventually said something like that in the room. I said, like, who cares how we fucking met? Like, you're on it too. And I said something like, the whole world is fucking whores, essentially.
I said, wouldn't say it like that.
So you're implicitly calling her a whore.
The whole world fucking
the whole world pays for sex in one way, shape, or form. Okay. It's like, you know, a guy takes a girl in a few days and buys her some drinks. Like, is he paying for sex? Like, some people be like, yeah, he's paying for sex. Other
sure.
Like, no, he's just having a drink.
Might have said something like, we're in this together. I might have said something like that also. Because I've been thinking it in this case, in case that happened. I don't know if I said that, but I presume that's better.
You feel attacked and disrespected by her comment, right? And you want to message her and talk about that, right?
So yeah.
A, should you do that? And B, if you do it, how should you do it? and what's a good way to
get it,
right?
All right.
So what I told you was, I don't think you should, because it's likely to just, first of all, this is a really tough conversation to have over text. It's much better in person, but essentially after she said, I lost a spark, I don't want to see you, leave. We don't know when that's going to be next, right?
And then okay.
Well, if we can change her mind about how we met and the shame around that, then maybe she'll be more likely to want something in the future. And in theory, you could say maybe yes, that would happen, but again, very hard to do. It's kind of like an inception sort of thing, right? Like, she has to kind of get there on her own, right? If you could implant that in a dream and incept her.
I don't know.
You guys have a very open communication style. You guys talk about shit that bothers you over text. So it's not like it's going to come out of the blue. Like, in the past, you guys even have this, like, let's give each other feedback sort of thing, right? So phrased under the guise of that, it could be okay. However, you know, I told you it's best to not do or say anything when you're upset, of course, because then, you know, there's a high probability that it's going to come across as an attack and then the other person will shut down. So it's good that obviously you haven't done that. But, you know, I was telling Nick about the situation and his response was basically like, depending on how you word it, if you talk about your own feelings, that's really dangerous, because you're doing the opposite of what an attractive masculine guy would do.
I think it's important, the text, like, okay, word for word. So if we could just read that real quick so people could understand.
Been doing some thinking, and yeah, I'd really like to get a thing or two off my chest. Cool? ? And she said, sure. The first and perhaps the only thing, been thinking about this accusation of paying for sex you had with me. I don't think I defended myself properly. And feel really irritated about how I've been judged here for multiple reasons. If this was a legit problem for you, there were better ways of telling me. I mean, you know, in my mind, I'm like holding my boundaries a little bit because, like, what the fuck?
Well, so here's what I don't really like about it. And I think I read the first text up here, and then this is your second draft that you just said. So maybe the things don't apply that I was originally thinking. But I think the fact that you feel like you have to go back and defend yourself, and you say you're feeling really irritated about how you've been judged, I just feel like, I mean, that's probably true. And those are feelings that you're having to deal with. I don't think it's interesting to have to tell, I mean, unless you're in like a marriage, right? Where this is going to be a real problem for the foundations of your relationship, which you're not, you know, this girl's so all over the place, whatever. I don't think this is the right thing to be bringing up about how you feel irritated, right? This is a negative emotion that you're dealing with. Girls like to say shit to guys just to see how they react lots of times. I think it's better to just let it wash over you and to not react to it, because often it's just bullshit that they're saying anyways to see if they can get a rise out of you. There's no real content or meaning behind it. And if maybe she does cross a line, like she says, your mom's a fucking whore or something like that, right? You feel like, hey, a line was crossed here.
This is a line that's definitely crossed here. What are you talking about? You have a problem paying for sex. That is a line crossed.
Who cares? Why is that a line? She feels that way in her head, right? She has an opinion. Is it wrong or right? Maybe. Why are you offended that she has an opinion about it?
Because she's like fucking breaking up with me basically over this. And it's not true.
Why are you... What's not true?
It's that I have a problem paying for sex. And it's like a fucking...
I don't understand the offense. That's what I don't get. I don't understand why you have... I understand why you're annoyed at her, right? But in a way that, like, why would you tell her? I don't get that there's anything that could positively happen from this, from you expressing how bad you feel about what she said. It's like, that's a cool story, bro. Keep it to yourself kind of thing. From her perspective, you're not adding anything positive to the relationship. Like I said, if this is a marriage, you're marrying this person and you guys have to be very upfront and clear with each other because you're building a relationship that's going to last in the future. Maybe
we almost have that dynamic. We're not exactly married, but we're like emotionally close, you could say.
Well, I mean, that would have to be at least like living together, full blown I love yous, we're boyfriend girlfriend sort of thing. And even then, that would still be a dangerous, if that was happening, I'd be like, I don't like the looks of that for that relationship. So I don't think you guys are there. I agree with Nick on that.
You're in the stages of the relationship where things should be fun. If you want to see this girl again, you need to be a source of fun. This little petty kind of back and forth thing, I'm not saying you're not bothered by it. I'm sure.
I mean, it should be fun, but like definitely we have a real whatever going on. I mean, that's almost part of like why we're close, is because we've been real with each other. Like she's said things that are quite vulnerable to me, such as like I've been trying to see a therapist and I broke down and like stuff like that. Like she, you know, she
she's the woman. I'm just saying you're not doing yourself any favors by trying to get her to understand your emotions on this particular issue. Is this a really deep issue for you? I don't think so. Right?
And it's like fucking making crazy conclusions about me for, instead of just being like, this is fucked up, is not
wrong, right? Her having the wrong idea about you is fixed. That's an intellectual thing. And that's fixed by saying, well, no, that's not the truth at all. And honestly, if you acted less offended by it and you're just like, that's not true at all, you're weird, why are you even talking about that? It would sound a little less like you have something to hide. You being like, how dare you even insinuate this? I'm offended you would even think
That's not true. I mean, it's not true in reality. But okay, so a couple things.
What's not true?
It's not true that I have a problem paying for sex.
No, we're not saying.
You don't. I admit, you don't have a problem having sex. But then don't let it offend you. If she said, hey, you have 6 fingers on your right hand and I'm breaking up with you because of that, would you go, I'm so annoyed that you think I have 6 fingers? You'd just be like, I don't have 6 fingers. You're crazy.
So, I mean, had you started with that, that would have been much better, of course. Versus I'll delete it, which is, and then, delete is kind of admitting guilt in a weird way. Not in a weird way, but
I mean, holy shit. I can't, like, it's really hard to be perfect in these situations. I definitely, later I said, like, why does this matter? Like, who cares? Like, whatever, it was real. I said that. I said it was real.
Why does it matter is going back to the shame.
Yeah.
That's it matters because she feels ashamed. And she's sure. ashamed of herself, and she's ashamed of the relationship. That's not for sure what's happening, but I would, you know, I bet on that. And that was never addressed, right? So,
and when I read this text, my only point was, it sounds like your reaction in the moment might have been better, but you're going back over it and you're letting your emotions kind of wear on your mind and you want to send this text. And the only thing I was saying when I saw this is, this text, I don't see the point of, I think this text will only hurt you. I think you want to send this text because it makes you feel good right now because you're getting something off your chest. But I think the more powerful move is to deal with it on your own, because it really doesn't matter in the end. And you're not going to convince her with your intellectual argument.
So now,
why not? The
first text.
What?
Wait, you said, why not? Why aren't you going to be able to convince her?
I mean, I think I could be potentially convince her or get her to be like, yeah, I was sorry. I shouldn't fucking have outbursts like that. I mean,
with your significant other, is rarely an actual victory. Like, we're not dealing with this. I've even heard Jordan Peterson talk about, you know, you could be right or you could be happy, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right, actually. All right. Well, what should I say? Fine. Let's change it.
Well, at this point, like, you haven't brought it up, which is good. You said there's something that you wanted to get off your chest. So you could just make it into a total joke. Right, she's expecting this long, like, oh, here it comes. He's gonna fucking, you know, beat me over the head with some shit that I did, right? And then you're like, I ate pizza for breakfast.
I actually really like vanilla better than chocolate.
That would be funny.
That's called being unpredictable. That's the unpredictable side of this.
Yeah.
I think that's what you should do. Because it's, you know, she's going to expect to be hilarious.
She's going to be like, oh boy,
I told here you, we go again. I told you I like vanilla, but I lied. I like chocolate.
Yeah. I just didn't want to admit how boring my taste split was.
Oh my God. What do you think?
I guess we could go that route. Why the fuck not?
Seriously. Like, if you send it, the girl's going to know you're fucking with her.
I don't know.
She might actually think, like, he really thought this was serious.
I don't think so. No. She would know that's a joke coming from you, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she would probably think I changed my mind.
Which is good. Which is okay. Good. Then she's going to have this in her head. What does he want to tell me? No, he's not telling me.
Yeah. And the more you let it sit there before responding, the better.
All right.
She was probably anticipating like a cut and paste. Like, as soon as she said okay, like just this massive fucking novel coming in about what a fucking.
We could go that route. We could go that route. Yeah, maybe I've got the wrong idea. Like, I can get over whatever. I don't know. I feel like there's something mixing here. Do I need to send her something today, or can I send it tomorrow? Or I don't know how much it matters. It just feels like a long time. She usually responds really fast.
What I would say also is, if she presses, she's like, what the fuck happened? Like, what did you want to talk about? You can just even say, like, oh, I had this thing that was bothering me, but I realized it's not a big deal, right? And so I don't want to bring it up and create a situation. That makes you look like, you know, figured it out on your own.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would probably even say more. I would say, like, I had this thing that was bothering me, but, like, I think it's better for us and for myself to get over it.
Sure, maybe, yeah, something like that.
I wouldn't say it's better for us.
Yeah.
Because you're implying that the relationship is deeper than what she's agreed to.
Okay. It sounds like you're still trying to get over it, right? I would just say it wasn't a big deal, I realized.
Okay. I don't know if the timing really matters, but
I mean, but why don't you put her on ice for long enough? It's been like 3 hours or 2 hours since she agreed to the, you know, the dumping she thinks she signed up for. So yeah, send it. You can send it now. It's fine.
Yeah, but I'm not like waiting
before she says something else, right? If she's like, "What are you going to tell me?"
Yeah,
and then he sends it. It loses a little bit of the meeting.
Wait, so she already said, "What is it?"
Well, he said, "Can I get this thing off my chest?"
Yeah, and she said, "Sure." Oh yeah, then I would send it.
Yeah,
because if she's like, "Oh my god, are you going to tell me all this bullshit?" And then you send the short thing, then it's going to look like you reacted to what she said.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a funny twist. I kind of like it just because it could be fucking anything.
I mean, there's so many examples of this.
I'm going to shoot it out to all my girls today.
I mean, that's one of my favorite memes is the cockpit windup.
Yeah.
If you go to innerconfidence.com/meme, you'll see the cockpit windup. And eventually, you're basically sending these memes threatening that you're going to send a dick pic, right? There's like three memes in a row of like, "Do you like dick pics?" Like, I know. And then you end up sending a picture of a rooster.
Yeah.
Right? This is a cockpit, not just
a bad joke. So, yeah. Not actually a sexual predator.
Well, the other thing I want to talk about is I feel like this girl is not aware that she's got an issue, which is that, I mean, like, this isn't normal. This isn't like, like, what just happened?
You're dating a webcam girl.
and this is why I'm saying, like, this is not a relationship. I mean, if it were me, I would not see a future long-term stable relationship with this person. But that doesn't mean you stop seeing them if what you currently have is working out. But I'm just saying, like, adjust your expectations for this person. Don't think you're going to be changing them from an unstable person to a stable person. Just accept where they're at. And if you're okay with that type of relationship you currently have, that's cool. Keep doing it.
Well, it's not so much that I mean, I can't change her myself, but I can get her to look at herself and decide what she wants.
You can't stop.
You can't.
That's not you can't? Job.
No.
My God.
Yeah. You can only get her to look at yourself if she sees you looking at yourself and comes to that conclusion on her own. That's only done through inception. There's nothing you can
say. That's the inception thing. You got to let her come to it on her own.
There's nothing you can say to convince her or to, even if she feels like you're even just like pushing in the tiniest way, she'll fucking run the other way as fast as she possibly can.
Okay.
Well, I tried it. Doesn't work.
And even if I've been with people that were very self-introspective and it was very attractive, even though they had issues, they could see their issues right after they did it. They'd apologize and you'd be like, "Oh wow, this person, you know, they're easily going to change." But if it's a deep psychological thing, it doesn't just happen overnight, even if they're aware of it. I just think, man, it's
just think
for where they're at, you'll be a lot happier than getting your expectations up about how you could possibly change them and all that
stuff. Okay.
It's of her improving the way, like her sense of introspection and developing as a person with you is if you provide a judgment-free kind of zone where you're not trying to do any of that at all.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Fine. Fuck it. The only thing that frustrated me was that I could have sworn Robbie that we decided this was a decent idea and then
the other thing we were kind of discussing was more like an aggressive assault, which has the other, like, that's on the total other end of the spectrum, and at the same time it's like walking away, but I knew you weren't gonna go for that and it would just, you know, be too harsh, too aggressive, and you know, I don't think that's the right move given
it's kind of like the ultimate boundary that you were gonna put up, kind of thing,
right? So, but yeah, what you guys don't really have, I mean, you do sort of have, like, you have the closeness for maybe something like that, but I just think you're playing with fire too much, and I think you would regret it if it didn't work out, right? Because in the end, like, you don't want to set a boundary if it's not a real boundary. And, you know, if you said all those things and then realized that she didn't come back because of that, I think you never forgive yourself.
And I don't know that.
So.
All right, fine. Let's go with the joke. I'm going to use something a bit unique, though. All right, fine. We'll go with the joke. I'll think of something. All right.
don't overthink it and don't wait too long. So send it to me. All right. See you, man. Any thoughts now that he's gone? We can talk behind his back.
In front of the audience. In front of the
audience. That will be recorded, which you can watch later.
No, I mean,
it's, I think we said everything there was to say. Cool. You had a similar situation with a girl giving you random shit.
My God. The last two girls that I was just recently dating over the last couple of days. I've been told I have too much belly fat, which I probably do, and my hands are too small, and some other bullshit.
It's Ukrainian girls, man. They let you have it.
Brutally honest. But I always got the, I mean, these are all physical defects, one, right? So I'm like, okay, in our program, like, you know, you go over all the time, the physical aspects really don't matter for a guy. It's gonna matter a lot more, you know, your personality and how you hold yourself and everything. So I was just like, okay, these are them trying to poke at me, even if not consciously. Just don't react. Be like, yeah, whatever, who cares? I'm a guy, it's okay for me.
So she literally like grabbed your belly.
This
back,
one right? Fucking girl. Second date, right? I think it was right before we had kissed or right after we kissed. Second date.
But we didn't kiss, kiss her.
We didn't kiss the first date. Yeah, we're in the lounge area doing a hookah thing. She fucking comes over. I think this is after we kissed. She pulls up my shirt and just like squeezes me. And I'm wearing pants, maybe a size too short. And like, I'm kind of hunched over too,
too small,
you know?
Maybe too tight.
Too tight, yeah. Okay. And I'm hunched over. So I got this muffin that comes out.
Can we see the
muffin? No. I don't want to show. No. I've been not going to the gym enough. I feel bad. So, you know, over the last like 3 months, all my gains have withered away and all I'm left with is the fat because I keep drinking milk. So anyway, she's like, you know, squeezes my belly. I'm like, what the fuck? And I think I say something like this. She's like, laughing about it, whatever, but I don't really react too much. I was like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Did she say like she's
basically
like,
calling me out on it.
You're fat.
Yeah. And I think she even felt self-conscious about herself because she, you know, especially if she was leaning over, she has some there. So it wasn't like
it was good that you didn't squeeze her.
No, it was
be really bad.
Yeah.
They can do it, but you can't.
I did poke her a little bit to fucking tell her to piss off, but
you didn't imply she was fat.
No, I did not imply she was fat. I didn't try to compete with her on it and say, like, well, you're worse off than me. You know, I just said, okay, who cares? Kind of, you know. And I was more offended that she grabbed me like that. I was like, you bitch. And so I come after her, like trying to tickle her and stuff like that, you know.
But your reaction to that was great versus some other guy being like, yeah, I know I need to lose a few pounds. I've been trying really hard.
Yeah.
I was doing this keto diet and I think didn't really work. And it's fucking bullshit. My, you know, my body just some fucking dumb excuse, right? Like that's the worst thing you can do because she doesn't give a fuck.
To act ashamed.
Yeah. To act ashamed or embarrassed is the worst thing you can do. To not give a fuck is essentially how you deal with most sort of like poking and prodding and, you know, shit test, if you will, you know, how they call it in the seduction community. She was shit testing me, bro. So that was, you know, there was another situation actually that Dan was beating himself over for a long time where he promised, he made some either promise or a bet that he would get a six pack and he didn't, but he got in really good shape, like did this like crazy man savage boot camp thing. He didn't like technically get a six pack, but you know his abs looked pretty good, maybe it was a four pack. And then she like called him out on it, and instead of being like whatever, I fucking crushed, he was like apologizing about it, just like having
that's not great.
It wasn't good. So
and I think they do the tease thing, like it's teasing.
Yeah, like if she found out that you were sensitive about it, she would just go back there all the time, right. all the time. I've had that situation in the past where girls, like women are very good at finding where you're insecure and they'll just fucking pokey, 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 poke.
And I am insecure in these areas, but I feel like I did nothing to indicate that they had landed on a gold mine.
Well, you're just like, so what, I'm fat, you still want to fuck me, what's the difference? You know, like, you know, even, you know, Maria gives me shit about you know, my fat all the time. like, yeah, I can get a six pack if I really fucking work my ass off, and I was miserable about it. And, you know, and then what? What would be different about my life? Mm-hmm. Almost nothing, because it's not like I look in the mirror now and I'm like, oh, Rob, you're a fat idiot. You're a loser. I look in the mirror like, I look pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I have that problem too. No matter how fat I've gotten in the past, I kind of have this constant self-perception. Like, I'm like, all right, decent. And then I look back on pictures later on after I've changed, and I'm like, oh, damn. Well, I was okay with that.
There's like a threshold for me where it's basically like I'm like 77 kilos. I'm fucking full European, not talking in kilos, which yeah, I don't even know how much that disgusting. Is. I think I'm 170 pounds or something. But when I get over 180, then I start to look fatter in the mirror, and then I start to beat myself up, and then I'm just like all the time in a bad mood. Mm. Every time I see myself, like, and I've struggled with my weight for years, of course. But if I'm under that threshold, I'm like, I'm good. So whatever.
Because I don't struggle with being fat. I struggle with being too skinny. Because that's how I always felt. So when they make fun of the fat, I'm like, all right, cool.
They call you sloppy.
They call me
sloppy.
What's that?
Weak.
Like weak. Weak. Ah, that bothers me a lot more.
It sounds like sloppy.
There's you say my
sloppy.
Yeah. That's terrible.
De slobbly.
I did not get that yet.
De dosti slobbly.
They don't insult me in Russian yet because they know I won't understand.
The whole point is
mind fuck me. Well, that's good defense, is not understanding.
Yep. All right. Well, let's share the screen here. Okay, so I want to share these two wins. So in the leverage group, as you can see, we have a wins and fails category. And this is just cool shit that people post when, you know, they want to brag, and bragging is great for your confidence and your improvement. Obviously, when you have a permission to brag, it's much better than just being a bragging asshole. But he says, this is from Fur. He says, hey guys, funny anecdote from last night in Rio. I was opening a couple of groups down on this bar strip in Leblon when a girl I had met on Bumble texted me to come over to have a drink with her girlfriends. One of them was hotter than my girl, so I just started leading the conversation on the table, entertaining all of them. The conversation got more sexual, and the hot girl started talking about her frustrations meeting guys. Turns out she never had a real boyfriend, and she is in her early 30s. Red flag. Jesus. I started teasing her on how could that be, and poking her to share more. Eventually, I ran the cube on her to investigate what was the issue in her subconscious. I love that shit. She got so turned on by it, she literally asked my girl if she could borrow me for a night. Sexual tension got so high that my girl eventually told me we needed to go now because she needed to fuck me right away. It was almost like she was feeling her friend would steal me if she didn't act fast. Back in my room, it was wild, crazy sex. She woke up my neighbors screaming dirty shit. And this is the average girl next door with a boring corporate job, divorced, and two kids. Woke up in the morning next to her, and the friends were already texting to know how was her night. She told me her friends liked me way too much. Going to leave her on ice for a night and then try the threesome before New Year's Eve. That's fucking sounds hilarious. Amazing. Yeah. So it's funny that, you know, the cube is one of those things like from the game that I did that shit all the time. Because the game stole that. That was like a real psychological sort of thing to find out how people are. Mm. And people love those sort of like, you know, puzzles and psychological games. About themselves, and the cube is great. Like, you know, even if a girl knows, like, isn't that the cube? Isn't that like a pick-up artist thing? You'd be like, yeah, but it's fun. Let's do it. So I'm totally okay with that, even though I'm an anti pickup artist. So the next one, this is from Jay, and he says, I still cannot believe this. What in the fuck just happened? It's my first night out in New York. The night starts shitty, and I got dumped by a girl who showed interest, then ditched me. Motherfucker. Steve Aoki is playing live here, getting me into the mood. Lots of hotties. Long story short, after basically waiting, dealing with all of her friends' shit, going to a house party with this chick, and having to deny doing cocaine, I fucked this super hot blonde girl, skinny and tall. Damn, she was hot as fuck. I literally pulled one of the hottest girls in the motherfucking club to get to her place, and she told me she's a professional model. What in the fuck? I never, ever believed this could happen. And massive thanks to all you guys, and especially Robbie, for pushing me to go for hotter girls. Damn, what a night. So she looks pretty good in that photo.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, that's all we got for you today. Hope you have a happy new year and Merry Festivus for the rest of us. All that good shit. Don't forget, if you don't know what you're doing tomorrow night for New Year's, listen to the podcast from last week. It's called the New Year's Podcast. We go over an exact sort of plan on how you can maximize your night if you're a single guy. So catch you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.